stoning. Yesterday we learned about the procedure of burning. And now our Mishnah teaches us about choking. Mitzvah hanachnakin. How would the cord carry out the mitzvah of choking someone to death? For example, a woman who's fully married in a sua, who has an affair, an illicit intercourse with someone other than her husband. So what would they do? They would sink him into manure till his knees. And then again, put a hard scarf into a soft scarf. Wrap it around his neck. One witness pulls to his direction. The other witness pulls to the other direction. Until the soul exits. What's the source for the death of choking? The Torah says, "The ish asher yinaf es eshes ish," a man who will have illicit marital relations with a married woman, "mos you must," he shall be put to death, or he shall surely die. Hano efa hano afes, the man who has the relations with the woman he has the relations with. So it says, "ish." Asher yinafes eshes ish prat lekatan. A man can't be a child. So a child who has relations with a married woman is not put to death. Asher yinafes eshes ish, who has relations with a married woman, eshes ish, a wife of a man, prat leishes katan. That means that there can only be this status of a married woman with a man, but not with a child. A child doesn't have marriage. Eshes re'eyu, then it goes on to say, ish asher yinafes eshes ish. And then it repeats, Asher yin afesh esesh re'ehu, he has relations with the wife of his friend, prat leishes acherim, that excludes if she's a wife of a Samaritan, not a friend. If there's a Samaritan and a Jewish woman, there's no wife status. Then it goes on to say, most you must, hanoef hano afes, most you must, he shall surely die, that means bechenek, he dies by being choked. At Omer Bechenek, you're saying that a illicit relations gets punished with choking. Maybe it's one of the other three deaths. Maybe it's stoning. Maybe it's burning. Maybe it's death of beheading. The Gemara says, no, Amr, think about it. Rabbi Yoshia said, listen, the Torah says he shall die. It doesn't say how. So you have to be most lenient. Because he can't assume most strict, so the most lenient is death by choking. That's the view of Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yonasan says, no, as the Gemara will explain, Rabbi Yonasan is of the opinion, like Rabbi Shimon, that actually choking is not the most lenient. So he says, no, lo mipnei sheikala, not that choking is the most lenient. Ella, rather, since the Torah says most, you must, just he shall die. Kol misa mura b'Torah stam in elochenek. If the Torah says death, it refers to choking. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, another source, Nemar, Misa Bidei Shemayim, it says, most you must, he shall be put to death, the one who has the illicit relations. Sometimes the Torah talks about God putting people to death, right? As the Torah says about Er and Onan, Vayera, Be'enei Hashem, it was bad in the eyes of Hashem, but they were not being having relations with their wife Tamar. Hashem put him to death. So, now we have the term Misa in regards to people putting someone to death. So just like when God put Aaron Onan to death, there was no physical sign on the body. Just they died. As Baruch told us yesterday, the soul was taken. They just died. So when the Torah used the term Misa, death, it must mean something similar. Shein Barosham, a death where the body still is intact. Where is that? It's not beheading where the head is chopped off. That's not stoning where the behead, where the body is somewhat crushed, but that's choking. So why do you say it is choking? If you want to say that the source is death without the body being maimed, it could be where hot lead is poured down the throat, as we learned yesterday, where the soul is chased out, but the body still stays complete. So my answer is no. Since the Torah says that a daughter of a Kohen who's disloyal, she gets burned. That implies that this woman, ish asher yinafes eshes ish, asher yinafes eshes re'eyu, that's nav basrefi. That's not a woman getting burned. So now the Gemara says, okay, so that was the braisa. I understand according to Rabbi Yonasan, who says that Misa is referring to. I understand according to Rabbi Yonasan that Misa means choking. Can it come a fire? Rabbi Taima. As Rabbi will explain, that Misa means choking because the word Misa is used about a court putting people to death, and the word Misa is used about God putting to death. Just as when God puts to death, it's where the body, though, is complete. So to when the court puts to death, it's a death where the body is complete. It has to be choking. El Rabbi Yoshia, but according to Rabbi Yoshia, who said that the reason how we know that a person who has an affair with a married woman, a fully married woman, gets choked, is because the Torah says he gets put to death. So it must be the least death. It must be choking. Who even says that there is such a death of choking? A Messiah. Maybe there are only three deaths. Maybe there is, that the court has. There is stoning, there is burning, and there is beheading. And when the Torah says, most humans, he gets put to death, that means he gets put to death with beheading, with his head chopped off. How do you know it means choking? How do you know that there is such a thing as choking? So Amar Rava. Rava answered, according to Rabbi Yoshia, Arba Misos, the fact that there are four deaths that the court has to, at its disposal, Gemara Gemiri Lahu, is a tradition from Moshe. It's Halacha Moshe Misinai.
But the woman gets choked too, right? Both of them.
Yeah. But the Torah talks about him. But then it says both. It says, I know Eif, I know Ophis. Him and her. So now the Gemara says, let's go back to the Braisa. My, what's the meaning of Lomi Pnei Shi Kala? Where Rabbi Yonasan says, no, the reason why the man who has relations with a fully married woman is choked is not because it's the most lenient death, but because the death is called Misa. Misa is also a phrase used by Hashem. And just as by Hashem, it means that the body is intact, but the soul is taken out. So to hear, the body is intact, but the soul is intact. So what do you mean, not because it's the most lenient? My answer is what I mentioned before. Hamifki, Rabbi Yoshia, and Rabbi Yonasan are arguing in the Plukta, the argument that we have in our Mishnah a couple of days ago between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan. According to Rabbi Yoshia, that's like the view of the Rabbanan, that the most lenient death is choking. And Rabbi Yonasan is following the view of Rabbi Shimon, who actually thinks that beheading is more lenient than choking. So you can't say the person gets choked because that's the most lenient. You have to give a different reason, because the body isn't desecrated and choking. Amalei Reb Zera L'Abaye. Reb Zera now said to Abaye, there are only five, we're going to see soon in the next Mishnah, all the different sins that have the death penalty of stoning, but the Torah only explicitly mentioned stoning in regards to five sins. Idolatry, a woman who's betrothed who has marital relations, violating Shabbos, and magicians, Ov and Yidoni, as well as a person who curses God. Ov Yidoni, not Mechashev, Ov Yidoni and Megadev. So now the question is, what about all these other cases where there is stoning to death? How do we know it? So we know it, we're going to see later on, as Gzeira Shava learned from Ovi Yudoni, from the necromancers, the people who use the bones of deceased individuals to predict the future. So we learned it as Gzeira Shava. So the question now Gzeira asks Abaya is the following. Sharon Iskam, the other people who are stoned, besides the five of Avodah Zara, Naira Morasa, Chilul Shabbos, Ovi Yudoni, and Megadev, where it doesn't say explicitly, and they shall stone, and the Torah doesn't say stoning. How do we know stoning in regards to sins like bestiality, etc.? To Gabri Ovi Yidoni, we learn it out in Xera Shava, that the same words appear both in regards to the Ovi Yidoni and in regards to this sin, let's say, of the person who practices bestiality. So, but my Gabri, what are the words that create the Xera Shava? Is it the fact that in both places you have the words mos yumasu? Gamri, that's what we derive from? Oh, but demeyam bam gamri. Or is it from the fact that in both places we have the words demeyam bam, their blood is in them? Amarle, so Abaye answered Abzera, but demeyam bam gamri. Abzera shavas from the fact that it says in both places their blood is in them. Even mos yumsu gamri, because if you'd say that we derive it from the extra words mos yumsu in both places, what would we do with the words? Their blood is in them. So the Gemara said, 1 second. So Elamai. So then, what's your solution? So b'dmeim gamri. So you derive the gzeira shava. Let's say bestiality says in it d'meim bam. Their blood in is them, and it says by ovi yidoni d'meim bam. So why does it say mos yumsu? They shall surely die. Mos yumsu lamali. What do we need mos yumsu for? Answers the Gemara. Kidetanya. Mos yumas. That's to tell me the following. Mos yumas hamakeh rotzeachu. The Torah says if a man kills somebody else, he shall surely be put to death, for he is a murderer. And the elbim yisak suvabo. I would have thought that the only way to put him to death is with the death that's mentioned about him, which is beheading. How do we know that if you couldn't put him to death through beheading, then you can use any of the other things if that would work, like stoning or burning or choking? That's what the Torah says. Most you must hamakeh. He shall surely die, the one who kills. Most you must sounds me komakum from any place. So that's why. Most you must is needed to tell me that this death that he gets is just sort of the first line. But if it doesn't work, you could use other forms of putting him to death. So that's why Demei and Bam is needed for the Gzeira Shava, because most you must you need for this other lesson. Amalei Rav Acham Edifti L'Ravina. So Rav Acham from Difti said to Ravina, even most yumasu gami gamri, if the gzeira shava would be for most yumasu, so my kakashale, what would have been our problem? So what would have been our problem? So then we wouldn't have learned the lesson of most yumasu. Ilema, if you're going to say ashes ish kakashale, that his problem would then be that we would have learned from a married woman and said that a married woman, a fully married woman who has relations, shouldn't get choking. But lemesi lemigmar, mos yumas mi ovi yedoni. We would say that a married woman also should be derived from ovi yedoni. When she has married relations, she should get skila, malahalan beskila, afkan beskila. Just like ovi yedoni gets stoned, so too she should get stoned. That would not have been such a question.
Not the question.
Once the Torah says that a betrothed woman who has a relation with someone other than her husband gets stoned, and that's a terrible sin because it's not only against her husband, it's also against her father's family. So that would already tell me that a fully married woman can't get stoned. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why we didn't want to say that we'd learn it from Mos Yumas. Because if we would say that the source of stoning is from Mos Yumas and the Gzeira Shav of Mos Yumas to Ovi Yedoni, then it would have a problem with a man who hits his father and mother. So it would have said like this, we should have derived it from Ovi Yedoni and say that if a person hits his father and mother, he should get stoned instead of getting choked. Sigma says, no, we wouldn't have said that. Because Ad Gamim Ovi Yedoni, instead of learning from Ovi Yedoni, Ligamim Yeshus Ish, learn from a fully married woman. She gets choked. And there it says Mos Yumas. So it's also a man who hits his father and mother, where it says Mos Yumas gets choked. You're not allowed to assume the most severe punishment. You'd have to assume the most lenient punishment. Amalei, he said to him, no. No, the point is, all the people who get skila, besides the five where it says explicitly stoning, would have been the problem. Even most yumas gamri, if the source for skila in bestiality and these other sins that we're about to see is from the fact that it says most yumas by them, and it says most yumas in regards to ovi yedoni, I would have said, adagami mi ovi yedoni, legami mi eshesish, instead of learning that the punishment is stoning, because in Ovi Yedoni the punishment is stoning, I'd say learn from a woman who's fully married who has a relationship. What is her punishment? We just got through saying her punishment is choking. So it would say that they should also get choking. So that's what we had to say. It wasn't from Mos Yumas, it was from the Mayhem Bomb.
So why not always when we say Mos
No, because we're saying most yumas is needed for another purpose. It's to teach me that if you can't kill him one way, you kill him another way. But Tmeihem Bam is teaching me stoning. Their blood is in them is a way of referencing stoning.
Wait, so stoning, not choking?
there are, well, we're about to get back to stoning, but this last discussion was, we first started by saying the source for choking is the word misa. So 1 second, but if you say it's misa, we have misa also mentioned in many things that have stoning. So the Gemara says, yeah, it has the word misa, but there the word, the operative term is not misa, the operative term is demei hembam. It also says demei hembam. Demei hembam is always a reference to stoning. But misa, you're right, could not, sometimes it means stoning, when it's misa with demei hembam, and sometimes misa just means choking, when it's just misa. And choking here is because it says just misa.
It makes sense that stoning, because stoning really draws blood.
Demei hembam. Okay, yeah, that's a nice added point.
The other ones aren't really good.
So in the next Mishnah, Elu Heina Niskalim, these are the crimes that cause a person to be stoned. Haba al ha'im, if a son has intercourse with his mother. Val Eshe Sa'av, or if he had intercourse with a wife of his father. V'al hakala, or if a man has intercourse with his son's wife, with his daughter-in-law. V'al hazachur, a man who has intercourse with another man. V'al habehema, a man who has intercourse with a woman. V'aisha mevias habehema, a woman who puts an animal into her. V'amagadef, and a man who curses God's name. V'ovid avodas kochavan, a person who worships idols. V'anosi mizar la molech, someone who gives over his son to the idolatry of Molech to have him pass through the fires as part of their worship. U'bal ovi yedoni, and a person who takes the bones of deceased individuals, puts them under his armpit, and through that predicts the future, what we call a necromancer. V'hamachalelas ha-shabbas, someone who desecrates the Shabbos. V'makal avavi imo, someone who curses his father or mother. V'abal nairam o'ras, a person who has intercourse with a young lady, a 12-year-old, who's not yet 12 and a half, who is ma'orasa, who's only betrothed to her husband. She's a half of a marriage. V'amesit, someone who convinces a person to worship idols. V'amediach, someone who convinces multiple people to worship idols. V'amachashef, someone who performs black magic. U'ben soreru more, and a young rebellious son, a boy who steals, and he consumes wine and meat, and doesn't listen to his parents. So the Ben Sorer Moreh, the 13-year-old Ben Sorer Moreh. Okay, now going on to the first case of the 15 that we just mentioned. Habala Im, a person who has intercourse with his mother. So Chayav Olea Mishum Im, so that's one violation is the fact that he intercourse with mother. Umishum Eshesav, and a second violation is that she's the wife of his father. So he actually has two violations. Yeah. However, Yehuda Omer, Rita says, no, Eino Chayev Ela Mishum Ein Bilvat. He only has the violation of mother. Next case, Habal Eishas Av. If a person has relations with the wife of his father, Chayev Mishum Eishas Av, he's violating both the sin of being with the wife of his father, plus Mishum Eishas Ish, he's with a married woman. Now, the sin of being with his father's wife is Bein B'chayev Aviv, whether his father is alive, Bein L'achar Mishas Aviv, or if his father's not alive. Beimin Erisin, a wife of a father, is whether the father only had Erisin with her, Beimin Anasun, or whether the father had full marriage with her. Okay, next case. Habal Kalaso, a man who has relations with his son's wife, with his daughter-in-law. Chayav Olea Mishum Kalaso, he's in violation, number one, of being with his daughter-in-law, plus Mishum Eishas Ish, and he's in violation for being with a married woman.
We're
going to see. Bein B'chayev, yeah, that would still be a problem.
Sure.
Bein b'chayi b'no, this is true whether during the lifetime of the son, bein li'achar mises b'no, or even after the death of the son, it's still a problem, she's still daughter-in-law.
What's her punishment?
Bein, the same. Every time, both people will get the same punishment. Bein min erisin, and she is considered a daughter-in-law, whether she only had erisin with her husband, bein min anisuin, or if she only had nisuin. So again, the Mishnah says that a man who has relations with his mother really has two sins, according to the sages. The sin of being with mother, plus the sin of being with father's wife. And Rabbi Yehuda said, no, it's only mother, it's not father's wife. So now the Gemara is going to try to understand Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Im lo haisa imo ru'uya la'aviv. If the mother, though, wasn't allowed to be with the father, she wasn't married to him, because there was a prohibition. No, there was a prohibition on them being married. So then the violation is only for having been with mother. So my inner uyala, what does it mean if the woman is not fit to him? What's that? Okay. Ilemach chayve krisus. If you're going to, well, it depends which cemetery you bury them in, as we saw earlier. So ilemach chayve krisus v'chayve misus bezdin, that the father had an affair with a woman who he's not allowed to be with a prohibition of kares for being with her, or a prohibition of a death penalty for being with her. Let's say a father was with his own sister, and then they have a child. So I don't understand. Bichlal, the Rabbanan Savi, would the Rabbanan say that she's considered wife of father? Afal Gavdein Ruilo, even though she's not fit for him. Halesli Kedushin Begava, there's no marriage between the two of them. There's no Kedushin that can take effect when the prohibition is a severe prohibition. Ella, so the case like this, the father's a Kohen, and the father who's a Kohen goes and has relations with a divorced woman, and they have a child. So chayve lavin, it's a prohibition which is only a lav, a prohibition. So Rabbi Yehuda, savala k'Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbi Yehuda, this b'raisa, holds like Rabbi Akiva, mesechta yavamos. So Amaru said, ain't kedushin tovsin b'chayve lavin. Rabbi Akiva says that if there's a relationship that's prohibited, even if it's only prohibited with a light prohibition, the prohibition of a lav without a terrible punishment, it knocks out the possibility of marriage between the two. So therefore Rabbi Yehuda says, it's only mother but not eshes av. Master Rav Oshaya challenged this. We learned Isur Mitzvah, if there's a prohibition of, let's say, a brother-in-law, his brother died, the wife of the brother falls to him for Yibum or Chalitza, because there were no children, but to him, she's Isur Mitzvah, she's a Mitzvah prohibition, or Isur Kedusha, a holy prohibition. Then he can't marry her. So Chaltzos Volomus Yabos. He does Chalitza with her, and he cannot do Yibum with her. So what is the prohibition of Mitzvah? Turning to Nun Gimel Amid Beis. Isur Mitzvah, prohibition of Mitzvah. Ishnios Midivrei Sofrim are women that are prohibited with rabbinic prohibitions. Amai Karilu Isur Mitzvah. Why is it called a prohibition of Mitzvah? The Mitzvah Lishma Divrei Chachamim, because there's a Mitzvah to listen to the words of the sages. Isur Kedusha, what's a prohibition of holiness? That's a prohibition, a lav. Almanella Kohen Gadol, let's say the brother is a Kohen Gadol, and it's a widow to him. He can't be with a widow. Or Grusha V'chalutza, L'Kohen Hejot. Or a divorced woman, or a woman who had Chalitza, to a regular Kohen. Now, Amai Karlu Isur Kedusha, why are these prohibitions called a prohibition of holiness? Because it says about the Kohanim, Kedoshim Yiyu Le'Elohim, they should be holy to their God. V'tanya, Allah, we looked on a brisa about that. Rabbi Yehuda, machlif chilufi. Rabbi Yehuda says, I change the names. I think a prohibition of a lav is called Isur Mitzvah. I think a rabbinic prohibition is called Isur Kedusha. Now, chilufi huda machlif. He's just changing the names. Ha-chalitza bay. But he's still saying that a woman who is prohibited with a prohibition, let's say a divorced woman falling to a Kohen, there is a need for chalitza. One second. If Rabbi Yehuda were to hold like Rabbi Akiva, that wherever there is a prohibition, there's no possibility of marriage, then mechti, chayve lavan Rabbi Akiva ke chayve krisus dami. A woman prohibited with a regular prohibition, according to Rabbi Akiva, is as prohibited as a woman prohibited with a prohibition with a death penalty. Chayve krisus, the very first mission of Yavamos teaches that a woman who is a prohibition of kares to the Yavam, lavnei chalitza v'yibum ninu. If there's no possibility of marriage, there's no obligation of yibum, there's no obligation of chalitza. So Gemara says, okay, you're right. That, Bryce, you have to read a little bit differently. L'dvarav de Tana Kama Kamar. Rabbi Yehuda is saying like this, according to you, Tana Kama, who believe that when there's a prohibition of a lav, there could be marriage. It's okay, you're calling things the wrong name. You're calling a lav Isur Kedusha. I call it Isur Mitzvah. But he himself doesn't agree. He thinks that if there's a prohibition of a lav, a prohibition between the Yavama and the Yavam, then there's no possibility of marriage at all. And if there's no possibility of marriage at all, there's no obligation of Yibum at all.
The Kohen Gadol never has an obligation.
He can never do Yibum, right? Because he can't marry a widow.
Right. Just say, like, let me, even though he got killed, still b'shamayim yesh lo cheshbon, odetz mechaper on chatayim. Sorry if...
Well, the Gemara wasn't sure about that. The Gemara discussed that earlier. Maybe the violent death is a kapara or not. Kiyas, Rav Yitzchak, when Rav Yitzchak came, he brought the following brisa. V'tani kiditznan. He learned a brisa, he brought a brisa saying what we have in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, if a man sleeps with his mother, eino chayev elam yishuma ein bilvat, then it's not considered father's wife, it's only considered mother. V'time amai, so what's the reason for this? Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Amar Krok, the Pasuk says, Ervas avicha ve'ervas imcha lo sigaleh, do not reveal the nakedness of your father. Imcha hi, she is your mother. So the fact that it repeats, Imcha hi, she is your mother, it's saying, Mishum imo atamachayvo, v'yatamachayvo mishum eshes av. She is your mother, Imcha hi, she is your mother, she's not considered your father's wife.
But she's always his mother, she's not always the father's wife.
Correct. But the extra word of Imcha hi is to say that that's the only status that matters. So the extra word. So the Gemara asks, but it doesn't make sense. What, you can't say that the word he says it's only mother. But the next pasuk is, Ervas eshes avicha lo sigaleh, don't reveal the nakedness of the wife of father, because Ervas avicha hi, it's the nakedness of mother. So what do you mean? The nakedness of mother, is that to say mishum eshes avata machayvo v'yeta machayvo mishum imo, that she's only the wife of father, but she's not mother? So then it should be nothing. Ela imo she eshes aviv, if it's a mother who's also the wife of his father. So kayacha, when you think about the mother aspect, mimaitle, we should say, well, it's only mother, but not wife of father. Then when you think about the father of wife aspect, it should be she's father of wife and she's not mother. So that should be nothing. So that would make any sense? If it's his mother who's not married to his father, he gets punished for being with her. If it's the wife of father who's not his mother, he would get punished with her. But imo, shehi eshes aviv lo machayev klal. But if it's his mother who's also the wife of father, there'd be nothing to be with her because each prohibition excludes the other. May end up in a state which makes no sense. The Sue and another question. The Rabbanan Nami. Now, the rabbis who say that if a person is with his mother, he has two violations, being with mother plus being with wife of father. But Haksev Imchahi. But what do they do with these words? Imchahi. She is your mother. To exclude what? Ella, so you have to say like this. Imchahi is referring to something else. Hahimi boyle kid Rav Shisha b'ed Rav Idi. That's for the lesson of Rav Shisha, the son of Rav Idi, who said that Imchahi is to teach me, we'll see later on, what punishment a man who sleeps with his mother gets. Right. One second. So there'll be Yehuda Nami. So according to Yehuda, Imchahi is to teach me what punishment. So what's the source of Rabbi Yehuda that when a man sleeps with his mother, who is also wife of father, that the prohibition is only mother, and it's not that he has two prohibitions. He only has one prohibition. So what's the source? Ela amar Rav Acha b'Rei Rav Ika. So rather, Rav Acha, the son of Rav Ika, said the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda is like this. Amar Kra, the pasuk says, Imcha hi, she's your mother. Lo segale ervasa. Do not reveal her nakedness. That's to say, her nakedness, not her nakednesses. Mishum erva achas atam mechayvo. When a man sleeps with his mother, who's also married to his father, so there's only one nakedness. V'yatam mechayvo mishum shtei ervos, and it's not considered two nakednesses. It's not two prohibitions. Right. Now, one second.
When you say mother, you're talking about biological mother.
Yes.
Biological.
Yes.
So is the same punishment between biological mother and stepmother the same thing?
Yes.
The same.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct.
The biological is not more severe.
No,
than
both are stoning.
The father's wife.
That would be if it would be done by mistake. Mm-hmm. There could be a sin offering, but here we're talking about where it's deliberate. Then there's death.
Then it's the same punishment, whether it's for the mother or for the wife. Sleeping with your mother or with your father's wife, it's still the same punishment.
Yes, it's still the same punishment. Right, but in terms of if someone has two sins, so he doesn't get buried next to someone who has one sin. So there is a relevance in terms of where we would bury. Well, 1 second. Is he a question? Yes, for sure. Yes, that's right.
So son sleeps with mother, they both get choked.
Stoned.
Stoned. Does they get stoned on the same day? Because are you allowed to stone mother
and
child
I think
on the
so.
Same day?
I think so. I think so. Elameata, now, in light of this, that you're interpreting the word ervas as being singular, the pasuk says, ervas kalas chalos galeh, don't reveal the nakedness of your daughter-in-law. Eshes binchahi, she is the wife of your son. Lo segaleh ervasa, do not reveal her nakedness. Hachanami, so here too. Does that mean that there's only one prohibition and not two? But the Mishnah says, Abal kalaso, if a man has relations with his daughter-in-law, then he's violating both daughter-in-law and being with a married woman. And daughter-in-law, whether the son is alive, after the death of the son. It doesn't argue over here. You have to say like this, since it's one body, he's being with his daughter-in-law. She's, you know, she's married to his son. That's what makes her his daughter-in-law. Even though it's two prohibitions, ksiv ervasa, the Torah says her nakedness in the singular tense. So with mother who's married to also father, it should be the same. Since it's with one body, even though it's two prohibitions, ksiv ervasa, that's why it's called her nakedness in the singular tense. Ela amar Rava, so now Rava gave a different explanation of why Rabbi Yehuda says that there's only one prohibition, like Arabaya said, imchahi, your mother. So kasav Rabbi Yehuda holds, erva savicha, once it says the nakedness of father, zu esha savicha. That's a reference to wife of father. Umay salab gzeira shava. And then through gzeira shava he learns that it refers to wife of father. Umashman, that implies bein eshes aviv she'imo, bein eshes aviv she'eno imo. That implies whether she is his mother or not his mother. Then the Torah says, imo she'eno eshes aviv minayin. How do we know that if he's with his mother who's not married to his father, that it's also a prohibition? Tamaloma erbas imcha lo segaleh. Then it says, the nakedness of your mother don't reveal. Then when it says, imcha hi, when it says, she is your mother, that's to say, mishum imo atam mechaivo, v'yatam mechaivo, mishum eishes aviv. We already knew mother. So once it said, imcha hi, it's to say that she's only mother and not the wife of father. Rabbi Hanan ben Akasha, Me'aratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu,